And Lord God, may you accept the praises of these people that you have gathered together, and may your presence just overtake us right now. May you walk among us. Lord, may you fill us with your Holy Spirit. Would you take the cares of the world away? Get our eyes away from the things that we've been handling all week, and we come and ask you to cleanse our heart. God, we're sorry that sometimes we fade out and we drift away and get in trouble and then realize, oh, I got to get back to God. We don't want to live like that anymore, Lord. So would you please just manifest yourself as you did in the first service and speak to people as if they will know that this message was just for them. And may your love just impact everyone here. Lord, we want to be plugged in like a hybrid. We want to have you just fill us with heaven. So bless these dear men and women. Some of them are dangerously close to falling over the edge. Some are in darkness and they see a little light right now and they want to come to that light. I pray that you'll reveal yourself to those people. Lord, to those that are haughty and proud, that live for the things of this world, and they've come to a place they don't know where it is, a junction in the road, that they're tired of hyping everybody and trying to be something. So I pray, Lord, for those people, they'd see the scars in your hand and know what you paid by giving your life, Lord Jesus, that the things of this world will all pass away. But your word will endure forever. So may your word overpower all the tricks the devil has played on these people, all the subtleties of darkness and wickedness and evilness, the slipperiness of a serpent, drawing them into the wrong places and relationships. Lord Jesus, we give you this time right now that you be glorified. And we would say thank you, Lord, that you even care for us. Thank you. Amen. As you're standing, turn in your Bibles to the 8th chapter. Thank you, Evan. And we're going to go to the 28th verse of Romans. That's right? Okay. That's all we've been studying the last year. Chapter 8. And we're at one of the most profound scriptures in the Bible. And my prayer coming to this the last few weeks has been that God would impact your lives. And it was really something in the last service that, with tears, I had several people telling me, who called you up? Who told you I needed this? So I wanted to impact you. Some of you know this verse, and it's just rote. It's a memory verse. Some of you actually live it, and you know the power of it. Some of you are not even aware of it, so I would pray that you would be aware of it, put it in your heart, and don't ever lose it. Memorize it. It'll take you through the worst storms you can ever imagine or not imagine. So we're going to read out loud together in unison at verse 28, Romans, the 8th chapter. You ready? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I'm going to read it without you. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now let's read it together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his will and purpose. Now you all read it out loud without me. I'll start you. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his will and purpose. Circle the word all, and you may be seated. All things work together for good. No matter what you're going through or you will experience, all things at all times will end up working together for good if you are a person who loves God. If you love the world, the flesh, and the devil, this doesn't work for you. But this is a verse that absolutely is kingdom living for you here in San Diego. You need to memorize this verse. And when situations come, you say, wow, I don't know why this is happening, but I do know that God will use it for good. Let me give you another example, if you will just keep your hand there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And if you put these two verses together in your brain, wow, it's going to be very cool for you. 1 Corinthians is right after Romans. And then please go to the 10th chapter. And it says in verse 13, the word temptation is the same word as testing or going through a trial. Okay? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Otherwise, what you're going through right now is not uncommon. Most of the people in the room have gone through it. Maybe this is just your first time. But it's common. But God, I love this, is faithful. You know what? I get in tight spots and I realize, oh, but God. But God, keep him interjected into your life. He is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tested or tempted beyond what you are able to bear. So you say, I can't make it. I'm falling to pieces. This thing's going to explode. We're going to lose the house. Whatever the pressures are, you are strong enough to be facing this verse says, or God wouldn't let it come to you. So wherever you are today, in your heart, in your mind, in your life, with other people or yourself, and you're feeling some pressure, this is very common to everyone. You are at a point that God feels it's time for you to see a victory. And he is going to take you through this, and he knows you are able to bear this, or he wouldn't bring it to you. So we want to thank him for that. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And he'll open up a door that was never opened before and say, whoa, that's my means of escape. He'll give you vision through concrete if necessary. That's your means of escape. But ultimately, Jesus Christ is your means of escape. You want to put your faith in a man that has died, been buried, and raised from the dead. He's got a lot to teach us, even if he weren't the Lord incarnate. So you put that together with Romans. All things work together for good. And then you look at this, that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And God knows you're strong enough, ladies and gentlemen, to be suffering or going through a trial or a tribulation. He knows it. So he's allowed it to come to build you up. And maybe you have subtly drifted away from God. And God would say to you, you can't drift anymore. He wants you to have a full-blown, 100% relationship with him. Not a Sunday morning or whenever I want to go to church relationship. Hanging out around town. Don't even have a Bible in your glove compartment. You don't read the word. He's tired of that life. He wants you to have more. And he's given it to you, and he wants to teach us how to receive it. So one great advantage we pick up today is the work of the devil is going to be destroyed in your life. If you'll just say, okay, Lord, I surrender. I'm your responsibility. You are his responsibility. He has to feed you. He feeds the sparrows, so why wouldn't he pay your rent? If he's concerned and knows every sparrow in Balboa Park and everywhere around the world that has dropped dead, how much more valuable, Jesus says, are you than a sparrow? But when we drift from the Bible and our love affair with God, pressures come in. And some people explode. Some people go out and just throw their life in a big fling to get even, or to get angry at God. And all of a sudden, alcohol slips in and other things come your way. Instead of rejecting, you've been trapped. But then others of you are in a position where you don't know why. Or how did this come to my family? Where is this? Where is God when I need him? So I'd like to parse this out for you a little bit. I tell you, this verse has gotten me through some really rough times. Okay, Lord, I just don't know if I can go another day. But God. Wow. We know, underline that. He's making a statement of fact. We apostles know, and you Christians that are in the world's capital, Rome, we know this is a fact, what I'm going to say. We all know this as Christians. It's basic Christian walk. Christianity 101. It's right here. We know, well, what do we know? That all things, and I ask you to circle that all things, not a few things or some things or big things or little things, but all things that come your way, God is interested in. And he wants you to be a man that stands for him, that trusts him in all things. Because Paul says all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So it's a category of life. If you love God and you're walking according to his will and his purpose, then whatever is happening is going to turn out to be good. This is a five-letter word, T-R-U-S-T, trust. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Always lean to your own understanding. Oh, no, that's not right, is it? You never lean to your own understanding because it limits what God can do. You want his understanding. All things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When I was going over this and reading it throughout the week, I was telling, Sandy asked me, what are you reading? I said, I'm just preparing for Sunday. She says, you know something I like about that all things working together? And I thought, she's gonna teach me something. But she's a much better teacher than I am. But she said, you know, if I take a little bit of salt and sprinkle it into a bowl, it's really nothing. Nobody's going to be pleased with that. But if I take a little bit of spice and put it in the bowl, I've just got, you know, a couple handfuls of spice and salt. It doesn't do anything. So then I put some flour and some baking soda in there, and I've got four or five ingredients in there. It's just sitting there. But the minute I take the eggs and break them and beat them and pour those into this bowl of things that are happening, and I heat up the oven and I put them in the oven, I started with basically nothing, and I got beat up like an egg for an omelet. But once all the things have come together and it's been set to the right temperature, voila. I don't speak French, but that was impressive, wasn't it? Voila. French fry. You now have chocolate chip cookies. But the eggs had to be beaten, and the situation had to be brought together in pieces, and then the heat of the fiery furnace made something that would bless others. So you have the pieces together, and God is going to work, stirring your life up, and the temperature will be only what you can bear. God will not give you more than what you can bear. Never. Because he loves you too much. So, somebody has a problem at work, and you can say, hey, it's going to work out for good. How is this going to work out for good? I don't know, but it's going to work out for good if you love God. Well, I don't believe in God. Ah, do you want it to work out for good? Yeah. Well, look right here. The Bible says if you love him, it's going to work out for good. I don't believe in him. I don't want anything to do with him. Okay, then, it's not going to work out for good. I was in a Starbucks at the Victoria Station in London and just sitting down and writing notes for last week's message and thoughts and ideas I had. And so this behind-the-counter young lady came out and said, do you want me to bring you some more coffee or something? And I said, no. So I thought, where are you from? And she started telling me a little bit of her history. She's about 24 years old, 25. And then I brought up, what about God? Oh, I don't believe in God. And she cleaned the table. She walked away. She came back. Well, I don't believe in him, but I sort of, because I don't know him, I don't know if I believe in him or not. Well, you want to talk about God? No, I don't want to. Okay, well, I'm not going to talk about God to you because you don't want to know about God. So I won't tell you anything about God, how much he loves you. I won't tell you how he'll help you. And she said, I told you I didn't want to talk about God. That's what I'm telling you. I'm not going to talk about God, that his son died on the cross for your sins. He's buried in a grave. We will not discuss this at all. But you're talking about God. No, you are right now. You just said, I'm talking about God. So you're talking about God. Anyhow, it's a little conversation like that. All things work together for good. All things. I want you to circle it. All things work together for good. You take an atom and the proton and the neutron that's in that atom, and you add an extra neutron, and it makes a different equation, and that atom can do different things. And as you've got that core, and you've got the things circling around it, that thing is so small, but we're made up of atoms, a lot of atoms. Some of you, I notice, have Adam's apples. You're made up of small things, but we blow life up bigger than life. And we don't even know what life is. And yet we make so much out of it. What we drink, what we wear, where we're seen. You know, the flesh really likes to party. But the flesh is going to get old and slow down, and your party buddies will no longer be around you. All things do work together for good. Your roommate didn't pay her share of the rent, and she just took off and left you, and now you got to work it. Yes, but that is working for good because she's the one that got you drinking and smoking pot. God's working something good in your life. Your grandmother's prayed for you for 19 years. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot get away from grandma's prayers. God has some special arrangement with grandmas, and he blesses them. Remember what this verse says. All things, any situation, will work together for good. It's going to. But let's stretch this a little bit now. And let's go to the next verse. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's my brother. My brother who is killed in an auto accident. He's his brother too. And the firstborn of many brethren, to think that whoever created you, that he is trying to communicate with you, that's a little overwhelming. We're sending these little erector sets up to Mars, and you see them on TV. Oh, look at this. The guy working the joystick down here, and it goes over a cliff, and the wheel's stuck, so they have to spend $800,000 to send another rocket up to get the little toy erector set up so it can tell us what's in the atmosphere. Sometimes our lives get upside down, and we get a little distant from God. And the therapist hasn't gotten through to you, and God is trying to get through to you. Your friends haven't gotten through to you, but God is trying to get to you. Your parents can't get through to you, but God is trying to get through to you. He wants to bless you. He wants to fill you with his love and his power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So he said, the people he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many. Hold your spot there, but just go to the first chapter of Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament. If you're new to it, it's right after the Psalms, two or three after the Psalms. Just go to the first chapter and the first verse of Jeremiah, because it actually helps us understand what does he mean, predestined and foreknowledge and all that. the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest. His dad was a minister, so he's a preacher's kid. Who were in the town of Anatoth in the land of Benjamin. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, so he's given us a calendar date here, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem when they took the captives, they took the Jews, and they took them over to Babylon, Iraq, and they were captive for 70 years. And so this took place in Jerusalem. The captivities were 5 months. So you could take the date of when they were dispersed to Babylon, a historical date, and you would know that 5 months into that 70 years, this happened. And this is what happened to this young teenager. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I have ordained you a prophet to the nations." His job description. And then I said, "Oh, Lord God, behold, I can't speak. I'm just a teenager. I'm a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." "God, I can't speak for you. I'm a teenager." "No excuses," God said. "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb." God knew you before you were formed in the womb of your mother. You know, God has invested a lot into you. Take your age, for instance, today, and realize God has invested all those years in you. And then, out of all those years, what have you given to God? 6 months? 4 days? An hour and a half? You helped a poor person one time? You washed an old lady's car? What have you given to God? So here we realize that before Jeremiah was formed in the womb, God knew him. That's fascinating. And this is what he's talking about here in the 29th verse of Romans chapter 8. "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus." And so I want to be more like Jesus. You want to be more like Jesus. So we have to read about Jesus. We have to see how Jesus works with the tax collectors. You see, when things change on a mass scale, it's not hysteria when you're manipulated through social engineering. You all know something's wrong, but you don't know what it is. Something's going on, but you don't know exactly what it is or who it is. There are people manipulating you for their will. But God says, all things will work together for good for my kids. God will move the universe for you if he has to. I think of my daughter that was born when I was 17 years old out of wedlock, and she was immediately adopted out. Never saw her, and then we found her. And I think of all the things that God did to verify to her that I was her dad and to verify to me that she was my daughter. Well, she was born on August 19th. August 19th is the day that my brother was killed in an automobile accident. Her oldest daughter was born on August 12th. My mother's birthday was August 12th. Her youngest daughter, who's at Arizona State, she was born on October 30th, and our son Philip was born on October 30th. After we met, she told me that a few weeks earlier she had had a stillbirth. Very, very stressful, painful thing for a woman. She named the baby Victoria Michelle, Michelle being Michael in French. She had no idea my name was Michael. How could all those things line up? And there's other things. But how could those all line up so that we could sit there many years later and say, God was watching over that little girl that a minister and his wife adopted her and raised her in the fear of the Lord. And the first sentence out of her mouth after I called her was, "Are you a Christian, Mike?" "Well, sort of. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?" I said, "Well, yeah, I do." And she said, "Well, I don't have to evangelize you?" And I said, "No, she's a good Baptist girl." All things work together for good. God will move things. He'll do whatever is necessary to show you his love. So he has the future in front of him and the past in front of him and the right now. He says in verse 30, "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified." He's called you. You are justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. He's justified me. He knows my past. He knows the guilt I carried. He erased it. He put it on his son on the cross. He said, "This guy goes free. My son's paying the penalty for him." My goodness, that's just too much to believe. Nobody's ever done anything for you before, but they're showing you that Jesus actually died for you. It's personal. Yes, God is very personal. The Bible says, Jesus said it himself, every hair in your head is numbered. So some of you ladies with your brushes this morning were going, and there goes 12,673,000, there goes 74, 75, and you guys with the gel slick in the back, and you lost a couple of hair plugs or whatever, you know. So every time a hair goes out of your head, it's numbered by God. Doesn't he have more important things to do? Yeah. He's just looking after us. He has justified you. And if he's justified you, he's going to glorify you. There is an evacuation of planet Earth being spoken about around the world right now. The body of Christ in Tanzania, in Kenya, all over Africa, down in South America, they're filling stadiums. The people are praying around the clock, 50,000 people at a time. Central America popping for Jesus right now. The word is he's coming back any day now. And you want to be found in your Father's business, not in the business of this world. You want to be found in God's business. God has called you. He has justified you. You do not go to prison for your sins. You are set free, and God will give you a new body and glorify you just like his son. But take it a step further if all things work together for good. What then shall we say to these things? Hold it. Didn't it just say in verse 28 that we know that? I mean, total confidence. We know this to be a fact. And then he says, well, what shall we say about these things? He's not saying it like that. He's saying it like this. Whoa. What can we add to this? I mean, how amazing that all things work together for good. A lot of people during this economic downturn committed suicide. I'm sorry for them. I'm sorry for the families. Because the pressures of the finances were too much. And this verse tells you that if you'll be patient and you love God, he's there. And I learned over the years from experience, not that I ask him to show up to help me out of a problem. I don't want to have him come from somewhere. I want to be with him every day. Every minute, I want to love Jesus. And he will help me. He doesn't come from somewhere. He's right inside of me. He loves me. And he's taking care of my heart for eternity. He promised he would glorify us. What then shall we say? There's not much more we can say but this. We say to these things, if God is for us, look at that and underline it. If God is for us, who can be against us? Is that not great? You're on God's side. God's on your side. You're together. Who in the world can be against you? What bully can coerce you when you can just say to them, take it up with my dad. Or talk to my big brother. Who? Jesus. He's a Mexican? No, I'm talking about Jesus in the Bible. Jesus in the Bible? Yeah, he died for my sins. He died for your sins. Didn't you know that? I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to beat you up. Well, who's going to do anything to you? If God before you, circle that, please, in your Bibles, and let it just sink into your brain cells. Who can be against you? You see, Galatians says if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the key is walking in the Spirit. So what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He's given us great victory here. He who did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all of us. How shall he not with him, Jesus, also freely give us all things? If he has done for Jesus what he did, and you accept the gift of eternal life, and you're thrilled to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, why wouldn't God give you all things? That means you don't need to struggle anymore. Right? It's his responsibility of the all things. But it's like children. They make a mess. They get a little older, you teach them to put the toys away. They get a little older and you say, where'd you get the dent in the fender? You know, you get a little older and it's, you know, it goes on and on. And as a Christian, it goes on and on. You mature, you grow. So whatever this is, God knows you can handle it, and he's going to be there with you. It will work together for good. Your family will be changed. You will be changed. The world will be changed. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Then he says it is God who justifies. God's elect, the Jewish people, God's elect, Israel, God's church. And you look at that and you see, I am justified. My sins are gone. God has stepped in for me. It is God who justifies. Now you just learn you never need to fear man. I've learned through this verse that I never fear man. I will respect their position, but I won't fear him. My fear is towards God. I fear him because he can take my breath and squeeze it in the palm of his hand. Or he can take his hand and he can stroke my cheek and tell me how much he loves me. And then don't worry about this. I have it under control. Well, yeah, but we're almost to the deadline. That's all right. God's teaching you a lesson all the way to the deadline. It's his responsibility to take care of you and your family once you have surrendered to him. You have responsibility. He has authority. You have a will, and he has the ways. Just be patient. Because you've gotten yourself into something doesn't mean that God can't orchestrate the universe in favor of you. If he could find that little girl and bring her to me, and so much happened in her life, at the same time on those same dates, things were happening in my life, he can do that and more for you. I just can't tell you enough how much God loves you. He wants to help you, but he doesn't want you to work it out. You got yourself in this problem. So he's going to work things out, and you will learn to trust him and wait on him while everybody else is scurrying around like little chipmunks. You stand still and you wait. Wait upon the Lord, the prophet Isaiah said, and you shall renew your strength. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Just wait. Give him the chance to help you, and you will see. I talked to a lady between services. I don't think this is divulging anything, acknowledged, but she has a son that has diabetes really bad, and he's not looking good, and they needed a pump that would pump the insulin into him with a needle on the end of it that would automatically do it for him and take care of his problem. Well, it's $7,000. She didn't have single mom. She didn't have $7,000. But she told me this morning that God brought us the pump for free. God brought it. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one that justifies your life. Rest in him. Who is he who condemns? Well, it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even now at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's right. The devil says, do you know that Friday night and Saturday night she went to these parties? And the Lord looks at the devil and out of here, Father, she was ashamed, she was embarrassed, and she prayed with some people and asked forgiveness for what happened over the weekend. My blood covers it. Okay, get out of here, devil. He makes intercession for you. He loves you. He sees the traps ahead for you and the snares. He loves you. He's looking out for you. He's got it all under control. No matter what comes against you, Jesus is stronger and more powerful, and he makes intercession for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? So circle or underline these. Will tribulation make you turn against God? Will it destroy the love of Jesus? No, not at all. Tribulation. Will distress, you're really stressed out right now? Boy, you don't know what you're going to do with this distress in your life? Can that turn you away from God? Well, you might start doing things you shouldn't be doing, but it's simply because you put the Bible down. This stress has gotten you more than the love of God, ladies and gentlemen. This book has all the answers. And it's not allowed in the public schools because it speaks truth about creation and a God that sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross for them, buried in a grave and risen after 3 days and three nights. That's not a message that is accepted very well. Who is he condemns? He's at the right hand of God. As Jesus is there for us. Well, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? Nope. Will distress? Nope. Will persecution? Nope. Will famine? Nope. Will nakedness? Nope. Will peril? Nope. Will war or the sword? Nope. As it is written, he quotes Psalm 44:22, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, there's that word all again. In all of these things that come against your family, come against you, come against your health, come against your friends, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. More than conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You are a son or daughter of God. And in his kingdom, with your new glorification because of his justification, you'll have a new body and you'll be wearing this crown. We called them halos as kids growing up. There's a crown of salvation, a crown of righteousness, a crown of hoping for the return of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of rewards waiting for those that are serving him. Yet in distress and disasters and loss of job, will that separate you from Jesus? Well, some people it did. The economy, some people drifted a little bit. And through that, God was teaching them to trust. And we close with this. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We're sons and daughters of God Almighty. Through him, Jesus. Now the word in some of your translations says, him who loved us. But in the Greek, it is a continual, for him who is loving us. Aha. You see, you can't be a bad girl, and you can't be a bad boy. You can't be if God is loving you in the midst of your fleshing out. He is always loving you. He will not stop loving you. Nothing can separate his love for you and him except one thing: your free will. You can separate yourself. And you may be sitting here like many in the last service that you have separated yourself from God and you're taking another shot at it. Will he help me? Does he know where I am? Are these problems even a concern to him? He says, yet we're more than conquerors, for I am persuaded. Underline that. This is a fact. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor pit bulls, nor, oh, that's principalities, nor principalities, nor powers, wow, nor things present, or things to come. There's no height, there is no depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. So you get a phone. Some people say it's got a chip in it equal to or better than the full power of the Apollo mission guys that went around the moon. You never thought there'd be a phone that you wouldn't have one in your home anymore. It would follow you everywhere. And then people could actually, through the air, send you mail. You don't have to go to the post office. It just comes to you. Too much. And that you could actually work out equations. There's apps for you to do everything. You never would have thought of that. But in this verse, God thought that this will do damage to the devil. All things that are created, he knows that there are creatures underground, underwater, maybe out in space, that they could be freaky. There is nothing. There's nothing bigger or better than the love of God. And you, I agree. And you need to start seeing him as your Father. God is love. Chapter 4, 1 John. And when you see that it's your Father that's in charge of everything, you understand now, hey, just be patient. This will work out. You know, the Bible says all things work together for good. And you'll catch yourself doing that. All things, I told you. Can't find your car keys? All things will work together for good. Everything will work for if you love God. What a promise. I'm giving it all to him right now and more. I'll give 7 or 8 of you to him if you want me to, or 300 of you. Just let it go. And enjoy the presence of Jesus. The confidence of the Lord Jesus. The love of the Lord Jesus. The forgiveness. In the midst, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Right in the midst of our sin, he died for it. He's loving us right now. He loved us before we came in. He was loving us through the night while we're asleep. He's going to love you all the way to the parking lot and to In-N-Out Burgers. It's a sure thing. God loves me. This is a horrible thing that I just got into here, but all things work together for good. I am going to learn this lesson, and I'm going to turn around and comfort other people with the same comfort that Jesus has given me. Shall we stand and shall we pray? You know, that's a good chapter to hang your hat on for a while. We've been there several weeks in the 8th chapter. And that chapter is just so full of gold and nuggets for our hearts. Lord, I know you love these men and women. And I'm confident of that. As I was studying this week, as I prayed for this service, you gave me a great joy for these people, of how much you love them. And some of the people here, you know very well that they're tied up in knots. They've been caught in a bear trap. They don't know what to do. Are they going to lose the house or whatever the business deal is? And we would ask in the name of Jesus that you would help them. These are your sons. These are your daughters. And it is so amazing to know that you're loving continually, all day, all night, even in the midst of our sin when we separate ourselves, you are still loving us. So now, Father, I pray that you'll move mountains for the doubter in the crowd, that things will pop up and change, that they will know that you are speaking from heaven to them. I would pray that you would encourage every business person here. You would encourage every father and every mother. I pray for all the single people that are here. The pressures of being unfaithful to you are just overwhelming, Lord. And we're asking this hour that you would break that bond of sin that has connected itself to these sisters' and brothers' lives. And that, God, you would be glorified. That you are in their life. And that you would give them the truth that would set them free. And that you would accept our thank you this moment for these tremendous scriptures to verify who we are. That you have justified us. And man cannot take this justification away. We're your kids, and we fail. But we ask you to make us strong, that we could carry on for your kingdom, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.